Oftentimes, like best idea on the table wins. Oftentimes, best idea on the table is probably the person who is most prepared or made it graphically beautiful. And this pastor just kind of blew it up. He said it's collaboration means co-laboring. So best idea built wins. And I'm like, okay, I can do that because I'm bringing pieces of it and we're working on it together. So that is going to win.
Welcome to the Leading Second podcast, a space to help church leaders thrive in the second chair. The Leading Second podcast releases every Thursday morning, so hit subscribe and share this episode with your team. Let's jump into another episode for all of us who lead from the middle. Welcome to the Leading Second podcast. Hey, it is our honor to have you in this space with us today. If you lead from the middle in any capacity, Leading Second is for you. If you find this episode helpful, I want to encourage you to visit leadingsecond.com/podcast and download the episode guide that we've created for today's episode. Feel free to use this with your team if it would be of value. We would love it if you would help us to make some noise about the podcast by sharing it with your team, posting this episode on social media, or leaving ratings or reviews. It all helps share the message and move the ministry forward. Today, I want to introduce Philip Engel to the podcast. Let's jump into the conversation.
Well, Philip, welcome to the Leading Second podcast. I'm so glad you're here today, man.
Man, I'm truly honored. I love what you do. I love how you do it, the spirit and the heart that you have. And man, what an important role you play in this thank sphere.
Thank you. We're trying to make this up, you know. we saw a need and it's a little niche-y, and yet, man, we're really thankful for it. So, and I was trying to think before we pushed record today, I was trying to think, how did we meet? Was it art conference one of those years or?
Probably. Maybe a conference. I don't know if it was ARC, but maybe, yeah.
I feel like I ran into you 1,000 times and then I was like, I just see this guy's my friend. Like, we're going to be friends.
I like this guy.
I like
Phil. Well, that's what I like that too, because we do similar stuff working with churches and just to have somebody to go alongside of. I know I've enjoyed our side conversations at dinners or conferences of, am I crazy? Are we crazy? But
it's been great. Well, I just have to say, I so respect what you and the Focus 412 team do in ministry and with churches. I love Phil Klein, your leader. I think the world of you all. I know some of your coaches as well. So thank you for what you all do for churches, helping us all steward the mission and build some structure to hold it all. Maybe just tell everybody a little bit what you do in ministry.
Yeah. We partner with churches specifically in the areas of system structure and staffing, really to help create that healthy organization so that as they grow, it scales well, helping with those principles so that if something does come out of left field, they know what it is, how to fix it, and how to contextualize things as they're experiencing growth. So it's been an honor truly to be invited in to partner with churches and church leaders all across the country. So we don't take that lightly. We're grateful.
Absolutely. And, you live in the Atlanta area. Tell us about your family.
Atlanta area. Yeah. Yeah. So, wife and I are just celebrated 15 years of marriage, and, we've got three boys, 12, 10, and 7. So, It's a sweet age. That's great around here. It's always something.
that's busy with three boys right there.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. She holds it all together. Honestly, I travel a bit, so she runs this place. I just find my role in that.
I get that. Okay. So this is Inside the Second Chair conversation. So tell me about your role as a second chair leader. Like, what do you do on the team at Focus 412?
Yep. So I'm the general manager on the inside. I'm the general manager. So I run the day to day. I'm kind of driving what we do as a staff and as a team. I'm helping with a lot of the big decisions as we're growing, managing the budget, all the fun stuff that makes the day-to-day run. And then externally, I'm also a coach with churches. So kind of grown into that over time. Didn't really fully expect that was going to be the role, but as it's grown, it's been a new challenge, a great joy though.
That's awesome. How did you get into doing what you're doing today?
Man, it was totally a God thing. We made a transition off staff at Elevation Church to come here to Atlanta to be a part of Passion City Church. And if I would have written the story, it would have been join the staff team here. And it was in that break, though, that Phil Klein had just started this thing, Focus 412, and is working with a few churches. And so, you know, I wrote one of those emails, and one of those emails that you don't really expect to get an answer back.
Right.
And I just said, hey, I'm in an interim, and if you need some help, I'm happy to help. And I got the email back that I expected. He was like, great, I'll let you know. And I was like, we all know what that means. But
don't call us, we'll call you.
right. He opened up an incredible opportunity for Phil to work. His background's in the cable industry.
That's right.
There was a major merger back in 2015. And so he had a church that we were working with, or he was working with. And he said, if they'll let you kind of be boots on the ground there, I can go and do this merger. It'll be a win-win for us and for the ministry. It could fuel it for a while. And so I said, great, let's do it. And so it just kind of fell into our laps. And after that, he said, if you give me a year, I'll give you a year. And that was 8 years ago. We hadn't looked back.
Still given that year.
It's been fun. Yeah. That's right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I love it. Before we get into our main set of questions that we do for these episodes, I am asking for your help in settling a debate that I have going around the country. You travel, and I would just be curious to know, are you team In-N-Out or team Whataburger?
I can't say Five Guys.
You can.
That's where I would vote. All right. I'd say this.
All right.
In-N-Out burgers, Whataburger fries. I don't like In-N-Out fries. I know people rave about them, and I can't do it.
Just depends on if you want something fresh or not, I guess.
That's true. Okay. Let me ask you this. If you had the perfect French fry, where would you pick it from?
Well, probably Five Guys. But you know what? It's fair. We probably need to add it to the mix because I really like those.
Yeah, those are good.
Okay.
I'm old school. I'll pick a McDonald's French fry any day of the week.
Texas has become like a second home to us, and I love Texans. I just am tired of getting Whataburger shoved down my throat by Texans. So this is maybe just my dig at it is really all that it is.
Yeah. There you go.
It's my West Coast dig. You would not believe. We talk about a lot of things that are really important for the kingdom of God. You would not believe whenever we talk about this, how many DMs I get about this though.
I'm sure. Stupid. It fires people up.
It's stupid. So pray for Texans. Okay.
Right.
We're talking inside the second chair. I love and respect how you approach your work. I'm really interested to hear from you today because you have, of course, a ministry focus. In reality, though, you are a service provider. You're in business, you know, as well.
Yeah.
And so no doubt there's going to be someone listening to this today in business in the second chair that I'm sure will glean from how you approach a general manager role. So just talk to us from, you know, both sides of the coin today,
sure,
if you will. Getting started on our script, I'd love to know, first of all, what is the first thing you do each morning and why?
Oh, man. I mean, the practical is obviously the got to throw those contacts in and see the world clearly. But I would say that there isn't really, it's not always the same order just because of kids and schedule and stuff. But the first hour or so is, it's always my reading and my prayer and then some sort of workout. I'm not saying it's heavy in terms of endurance by any means, but
you're a morning guy.
I'm not. I've kind of had to force myself to be. Kids have forced me to be a little bit more intentional with that time. But there are things that I really want to do. But if I don't prioritize it, I'm most likely will not be driven later in the day to get it done. So it kind of helps me jumpstart with some wins. You know, I'm a check the box kind of guy. So fresh word and a little bit of sweat goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Okay. A question I love to ask leaders that I wanted to ask you is this: what's the best rhythm or habit that you have in your life right now?
I'm a check the box guy, like I said. So okay. I have this app, the Done app. So that actually helps me with all my rhythms and habits. So, I recognize I'm an all or nothing guy. Like I can easily fall off the wagon, you know, when it comes to habits. So I gave myself some attainable goals and ways to really track them daily, weekly. So I get credit for doing stuff that I want myself to do. And I like that. So, that helps keep it. I think there's probably, I don't know, there's categories of things that I'm like, maybe I'm more consistent about, but the thing I'm most excited is I challenge myself to do a devotional each week with each of the boys. So it's either a devotional night and I hop from room to room, or I sometimes cheat and we do a family one. We do a family one. We knock the three of them out. All
it's not
once,
cheating, but, sir.
that's what I'm excited about. I'm not as consistent with that one as I'd like, but you know, I'm supposed to be weekly there.
That's awesome. You get credit for two rhythms. That's great.
Well, okay. Thanks.
What is a key verse of scripture, a thought out of the word that is currently speaking to you? Specifically in regards to your own leadership journey right now.
I actually just shared this maybe a week or so ago with our team. It came out of Joshua chapter 22. It's so cool when you kind of read these things and you never really see them that this way before, but the tribes are all settled in and they're kind of finding their own way. And a few of the tribes actually set up another altar to the Lord, and it almost like incites this division where they're going to have this almost like civil war. They're going to fight each other over it. And what was so cool to see is you kind of read it down, they end up coming to a real understanding of each other. But I think the point is that the other tribes assumed it was out of rebellion, but the tribes that established this altar, it was out of remembrance. They said, we're not actually going to use it as an altar. We're just going to use it to remember so that people don't forget generation after generation. And I thought, man, I mean, we're in a multiplication world, right? So we right. want growth, we want healthy growth. But I thought, I almost thought it as like a multi-site church is like this multiplication without the right motivation causes separation. Now you know I'm a church guy because there's that little bit of rhythm there. But multiplication with the right motivation, it reinforced this unification. It's like, hey, we're remembering together why we're doing what we're doing. So it was one of those that, yeah, it had to be God. Cause I was like, man, that's so timely, at least for us too. So
well said. What do you hope your leader, you know, the man that you serve, what would you hope he would say about you? Now, I always like to preface this question. I am not into pleasing man. We exist, of course, to please God. Sure. So this is not about seeking approval. You know, but Jesus himself asked his disciples, you know, what do they say about me? What do you say about me? I mean, I think our lives have a reputation and our lives say something. So I guess what would you want and hope your leader would say about you?
I don't want to be trustworthy. I think that's the word that comes to the top of my mind because I recognize and even the role that we play with let's say our partners or our clients is that they outside of their family, let's say this is a second cheerleader outside of this person's family, the person you're leading, this is the most important thing that God has entrusted to them.
Right.
And they're entrusting that to us.
Right.
So it's like, oh man, I want to make sure I steward it well. And I don't want to hear from man, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right. I want to hear from God, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so that's where it's like, man, if I can steward this well, if I could shepherd it, the people that are a part of this, that's what I'd love to be known for. I could trust him with this. So
great. Well, so digging into that just one degree, preach to us a little bit. Why is trust so important on a team? Why does it make a team so much better when trust is present?
I think there's so much that can be done on the other side of that. So like you can have conflict and you can have disagreements and we can, you know, have ugly, messy brainstorm sessions, because if we trust each other, then we know that there's this benefit. It's kind of like what we talked about in Joshua chapter 22, is we could fill that gap without those negative assumptions because we have trust. And honestly, I think that stems from it is longevity. There's something about the way Phil has led me and led our organization with a very open hand. You know, I've been in organizations where it's like, I want you and all the gifts that you have to serve me as the leader.
Right.
And the tighter the grip is, the more somebody wants to just jump out. But there's something about an open hand that gives you full freedom to go, but it actually endears you to the person that's there. And that's because of trust. Like, you trust me, you've empowered me, you've equipped me, you've given me a lot of freedom. So why would I want to go anywhere else? Or what else? You know, I'll have to start all over building trust. So
beautiful, beautiful. Well said.
One year from now, do you want to be at the same place as a leader that you are today? If your answer is no, what steps are you taking to move forward? Leadership growth and development never happens by accident or automatically. It only happens intentionally by placing yourself in the right environment at the right time with the right people. Leading Second Coaching Groups is the right space for church leaders just like you to intentionally grow and develop in their second chair leadership. Applications open May 9th. To get early access to coaching groups, go to leadingsecond.com/coaching-groups.
If you could stop doing something today or hand it off to somebody else, what would that be? I feel like some of the best things we say are saying no to things. I think those are really good decisions. Mm. So what would you stop doing right now if you could stop doing something?
Man, if I had a magic wand, honestly, I would. this is going to be for all my second chair friends out there, that like I'd stop managing. Now, I'll say there's a caveat here with this. Like, I think we've confused leadership for management, but management is it's very personal, it's relational, it carries a heavy responsibility. So I wouldn't give it up because I shouldn't be doing it. I'd only be giving it up hypothetically because it's hard. Like, you got to manage people, you got to manage processes, you got to manage the product. And so those things, you know, I think it's honestly, it's the secret sauce of leadership. So I have to keep doing it, but it's one of the hardest things because it's not just the flashy, you know, drop a few nuggets, delegate something real quick, you know, just say, hey, get enough grit, get it done, you know, use a value as a excuse to why we're going to do this. You know, it's like, you got to be in people's lives. And so I know that's probably not the answer you're looking for. What would I actually stop? I don't know. That wasn't the answer you were looking for, was it?
Well, hey, let's, what about this thought though? So would you stop doing it because it's out of your primary strengths or leadership style? Or like, why do you answer that way?
Yeah, I think it's my flesh. It's just realizing, like, I mean, water flows to the least path of resistance. Mm. And I think in my flesh, that's the way I want to lead, in the least path of resistance. I want people to like me. I want things to be easy. I want, you know, that's why we have microwaves in our kitchens, you know, like some of us, most of us, I don't know. Yeah. There's some of those people out there, you know, yeah. The radiation, it's coming, but... But that's kind of the, I think the way that we're wired at times is just, how can we get this done and get this done quick versus how can we do this right? And so that's probably why it's just out of the flesh. That's what comes to mind is, man, I had a magic wand. I would want to make all of this easier, but in reality, yeah, things are messy. It's hard, you know? Yep. So,
yep. Here's the big one. When you have a disagreement or difference of opinion with a leader or a fellow team member, here's my question. What do you tell yourself to keep alignment while you're working through the issue? So I have no doubt you're going to deal with it. You probably tell leaders all the time to deal with this kind of stuff, but doesn't mean it doesn't weigh heavy. It doesn't mean it's not easy. You know, yes, sometimes it's difficult. So to maintain alignment when you're frustrated, what are you telling yourself to stay in that right space?
I think it's an extension of like, well, I want to be known to be trustworthy, but it's like what I so quickly want to receive, I'm maybe a little hesitant to extend. Mm. And so I have to tell myself, fill the gap with trust. Because I can quickly go through like, here's why I think they did it. Here's, you know, what they were motivated by, but we have to remind ourselves that we're on the same team. We want the same goal. And so I think I'm, if not, you know, without that, I'm making, you know, assumptions on their motives, but I've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. So I think that helps me lean into questions versus, you know, having those statements. Those statements is just like, I want to get my side heard. I just want you to understand where I land versus questions is like, help me understand your thought process. Because in reality, most of the time they're probably right. They're seeing something that I'm not. And that's going to help us kind of close that gap a bit. So
really good. I heard it proposed. This is, I'm trying to think where this was. I heard it proposed one time that for a winning team, there's nothing you can't fix if you stay together. And I think what that meant to me was one of the things that tests our alignment is when we would maybe do something different than the way the consensus seems to be going in the meeting, right? I think we should do X, the team or pastor or my leader seems to want to do Y. I think why is going to have challenges. It might be a mistake in, you know, whatever we think in those moments. Yeah. And we don't have to get real deep into it, but I mean, I think those are real moments for those of us who want to contribute in the second chair. We have to fight to stay in alignment when quite frankly, I just want to do X. You know, I think it's the right move for us. And yet sometimes, you know, we're tempted to sacrifice our alignment and our unity on the altar of those decisions. And so the idea comes into play. There's nothing we can't fix as long as we stay together. Meaning, let's say we go with the consensus and we get it wrong. As long as we stay together, we're going to be able to fix it, even if we did get it wrong. You know, I just think that's a powerful thought for leaders to remember. No wrong decision is ever going to take you and your team out as long as you maintain alignment. I mean,
that's good. I mean, I think about the humility though, that would take for somebody to say, and that's why I think the tendency that we have is oftentimes second chairs are there because of their competency or they're there because of their longevity. There's a very myriad of reasons why a second chair is in that position, but that oftentimes means their voice has a larger weight. They have historical context, can make decisions quickly. So oftentimes it's like, here's what we're going to do. This is the best idea. Why wouldn't it be? So to have the humility to say, hey, let's solve this together as a team, I think it's powerful. I was somewhere and they talked about collaboration and you've heard the thing like best idea wins, right?
Yep.
Oftentimes, like best idea on the table wins. Oftentimes, best idea on the table is probably the person who is most prepared or made it graphically beautiful.
True.
And this pastor just kind of blew it up. He said it's collaboration means co-laboring. Mm. So best idea built wins. Mm. And I'm like, okay, I can do that because I'm bringing pieces of it and we're working on it together. So that is going to win by far than just
beautiful.
You know, Steve, who's got a really great idea and put it in Canva and made it look great.
Beautiful. Well said. Okay. Let me ask you a question about preparation. And I'm passionate sure. about this topic because I think second chair leaders, you know, different than our, maybe our senior leader, our job can morph over times. You know, sometimes we can slide laterally to a different seat as is needed yep. on the team. I think also as the scope of ministry grows, we have to grow with it. We have to get bigger on the inside. I mean, Focus 412 is at a very different place today than it was when you gave Phil your first year. You know, it's yeah. and so as your business has grown, you have had to grow with it. So I think great second chair leaders are always preparing for tomorrow, always thinking about what's the organization going to need from me tomorrow and how do I prepare for that today? So this is my question for you. What are you doing right now to prepare yourself for where you and your team and your ministry are headed?
Yeah, I tell my team a lot, hey, don't do something for the first time a second time, because what that means is we create an event and then a year later we start from a blank sheet of paper and do the same event. And it's like,
yeah,
we can't scale, we can't right. grow if we keep doing that. So it's honestly taking a lot of that tribal knowledge, it's taking a lot of that what I've experienced just because I've been in these circumstances, and getting that out in such a way that somebody else tomorrow that's not me can pick it up and Great. Make it even better. They're not starting from, you know, step one, they're starting from step 15B, paragraph C, you know,
right.
And it's just systematizing things. It's using those systems. It's reinforcing that. It's actually doing the hard work of forcing people to use the same systems, you know, because if you're doing it over text message, you're doing it via email and you've right. got a Google sheet, it's like, guys, even if it kills one of my preferences, I'd rather have it's back to that unity conversation. I'd rather have unity
yeah.
and it be a subpar system than have independence and 16 different systems. So, that's a big thing that I'm trying to make sure that we're ready for the growth that's still ahead, just because we do things in a, you know, it's still rooted in the core values and mission, but ultimately there's alignment there, hopefully in the process.
Well said. Well said. Okay. Two more questions. List checker. If you were to look back on a day and call it a success besides completing your Done app, what's the most important thing you did in a successful day?
And well, if you take my list away, because that's what I was, I'm thinking, I got stuff done, you know, I made progress, people, projects, like,
what's the most important thing on the list?
Delicious. It's weird. It feels like an intrinsic, success. Like I did enough to feel like I pushed the ball down the field. But I think if I actually take a step back, I would say that I was present in the moments.
Very good.
And not just like having this wishing for what's next or thinking about what's coming up. Like, because I think that's where God's going to bring the ahas and he's going to introduce the new relationships, and that it happens less on I check off more boxes than I probably would say that I'm present, but that feels like a success, you know?
No, it's a great target. Okay. Last one for you. And then your torture's done today. I promise.
This is fun.
How do you define success in leading from the second chair?
Well, that's good. I think it's a series of things, almost Almost like it depends on how long you've been in that second chair, but it grows on its way out. Cause I think you gotta, pick up, it's kind of like that snowball. You pick up one after you pick up the next. And, you know, I was thinking about it as like, I want to be a student of my leader first and foremost. Like I can't serve him well if I'm not understanding who he is, how he's wired, what is his preferences, personality. But then it's just taking those lessons and saying, again, it's not because that's how Phil likes it. It's really wrestling with Phil and saying, what's the Focus 412 way? And I want to make that part of our culture so that those are transferable. And then I think leading, here's another, I think hook. I like these hooks because I feel like people can grab onto them and maybe use those where they're at, but it's, I want to be the leader I wish I had to lead. Mm. And that's really probably the mantra for me is, if I can be a leader that is trustworthy and is reasonable, is inviting collaboration, and I do that up in my relationship and out with my team, that's also going to attract other leaders that are passionate about that. So I can't control them. The only person I can control is myself. So that's kind of honestly, really a mission of mine when it comes to leading up is be the leader you wish you had to lead.
Great.
Cause I think God will bless that. He'll bring leaders like that around you. So
absolutely. Absolutely. He will. Hey, thank you for taking a few minutes to invest in our tribe today. Before we hang up, tell everybody a little bit about Focus 412 and how they can connect with you all.
Yeah. You can connect with us, you know, via email. It's pingle@focus412.com, but you could also go to focus412.com and check out what we do in terms of coaching and trainings. We're honored truly to partner either with your staff team or just you as an organization and walk along. Again, creating a lot of that clarity and consistency alignment as you guys are growing. Make sure you're ready for what God's got in store for you next. So
absolutely. Thanks for being in the fight with churches, helping churches scale and build. We're really thankful for the work that you do. Please tell Phil I say hello.
Yeah.
And I will. Love you guys a lot.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
It is our honor to serve churches and leaders across the globe. We equip ministry leaders with the coaching, events, and resources needed to embrace their calling, get it right with their pastor, and lead in an uncommon way. Visit our website, leadingsecond.com, to learn how we can come alongside you as you lead from the middle. From the second chair, for the second chair.